Saints. Is my voice there?
Yes, but
I would like to ask brother if you can find song. It's Every Promise in the book. It's mine. As we approach this prayer meeting, trust in the Lord. Amen. 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 And maybe after this song, you can ask Brother George if you can open the book. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. If it's sickness that you feel and your body isn't well, remember He's the great physician and in Him all life dwells. Cast every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. If it's sickness that you feel and your body isn't well, remember He's the great physician and in Him all life dwells. Cast your cares on Jesus and you'll find you'll soon be whole. Believe His word and promise all is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You might ask for hints for salvation of one close relation. One you truly love is caught far away. Look unto the Lord and by faith stake your claim. Trust in God and call upon His name. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You may find you lost the passion, maybe because your poor reaction. Life is in that faith, and does He really care? Look unto the Lord, and you'll find He'll soon be there. Believe His word, and trust our God who came. Every promise in the world is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book, maybe last verse once again. You may find you lost the passion, maybe because of your poor reaction. Life is in that frame, and does He really care? Look unto the Lord, and you'll find He's always there. Believe His word, and trust our God, He cares. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in this book is mine. Brother George, will you open the word of prayer?
Father, we thank you so much for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank thee for even these words of Zion. Every promise in the book is mine. Lord, Father, every chapter, every verse, and every line. Lord, we don't just sing these songs, but we've experienced them, Lord. Father, on a daily basis, oh God. And Lord, as we come, Father, today for our first prayer meeting, we are claiming that every promise in the book is mine. Lord, Father, we believe your word would be ministered, that we'd be able to reach out and, Lord, Father, get and grasp the very, Father, things that you desire for us, oh God. And Lord, all it is for us is just a step closer, a little, Lord, Father, more love to thee, oh God, and walking, Lord, Father, in step with thee. Bless our brother as he ministers unto us now. Lord, Father, in song, give him unction, give him grace. Let him, Lord, Father, minister in a way that would line up, Lord, Father, with the minister tonight. We bless your name, we praise your name. Be with us, keep us, we ask, and bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's shake ourselves. Let's shake unbelief. Let's shake whatever it's negative. You ask me why I'm happy? Because my sins are gone. Because He has good thoughts of me. Amen. This evening. You ask me why I am happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Was at the old-time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I am glad my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to take me down, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I am glad my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. I am living now for Jesus. I am happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. Praise God, my sins are gone. Praise God, my sins are gone. In the throne I will hide. In His shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in the throne I will hide. In the throne I will hide. In His shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in the throne I will hide. In the throne I will hide. In His shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in the throne I will hide. The lily of the valley, I have found a friend so faithful. Amen. Amen. The lily of the valley, I have found a friend so faithful. The lily of the valley. Lily of the valley. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, in my comfort, in trouble, He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. Hallelujah, He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Heal all my grief has taken and all my sorrows born. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He keeps my by His power. Thou, all the world forsake me, and Satan stand me so. Thou, Jesus, I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor will forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. Hallelujah, wall of fire about me, I have nothing now to fear. With His manna, He my hungry soul shall feed. then sweeping up to glory to his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall overroll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he had made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me. No, we not, no, we not. No, we not, no, we not. You are the temple. No, we not, no, we not. You are the temple. No, we not. No, we not. You are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I am the temple of the Holy God. Amen. I am thinking of the rapture on the blessed home on high. Amen, amen. I am thinking of the rapture on the blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, he will raise the heavenly autumn in the city of the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over the streets of the gold. When the redeemed are gathering in, over the music, over the singing, over the city will be roll. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing the redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. As I walked through the door, I felt his presence. Amen. For I knew this is the place where love abounds. For we are his temple, Jehovah God abides here. And we are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. And in his presence, there's joy beyond all measure. And at his feet, sweet peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know God has the answer. Just reach out and claim me. You are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. He that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up being like as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall long and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Hold down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in a prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hard down on my knees, still in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do. Wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Maybe once more just chorus, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Hallelujah. May God bless you tonight, saints. I hope my voice is coming through to your houses. Thank you so much, Brother Vladimir, for the song Worship Tonight. My apologies. We so much love to have been in church tonight, but, well, these things happen when you least expect them. But we are thankful to the Lord anyhow that we are gathered in this fashion, together in spirit in heavenly places. And I would just like to thank the Lord for the Bible study that we had a couple of nights back, teach us to pray. I don't know how many of you were there, but it was quite a wonderful Bible study. So well presented, it was really great. And I just wanted to share something about that Bible study tonight before we go into our prayer meeting tonight, of which really the Bible study was on prayer. So it was, this is the practical lesson of it, you know. So I hope the pastor won't mind taking a screenshot from your presentation there. But I really enjoyed how the pastor presented this Bible study to us on Wednesday. And he spoke about how our prayer life can be tied with the tabernacle. I just said, oh, praise be to God. You know, it was so wonderful and so clear to see that our lives can be tied. Our prayer life, the very prayer life of each saint can be tied here in this tabernacle here. From the brazen altar here, all the way to the golden altar of incense, we are somewhere in between there, every one of us. And depending on which way you are closer to, it can tell you what kind of life you are living. You know, if your prayers are all about repentance all the time, you are right here towards the brazen altar, where you are subject to the interference of the things that happen in the outer court there. You're trying to pray and somebody is slaughtering an animal there. This one is shouting this and that. My, but the Lord wants you to move closer and closer until you're admitted into the holy place where you are insulated from the noise outside, you know. And I thought that that was really wonderful. But somehow I began to think, even the individual prayer that you make every time, we could type it with this as well. That as you begin to pray, you know, and you just kneel down and, you know, your mind is all over the place and you are thinking of, oh, this person said this. Oh, my manager said that at work. And it's crossing over your mind and you're praying. But as you yield more and more in prayer, you begin to get admitted into the holy place where those things begin to fall away from you. And there you are now, where all the sounds of the things that have happened through the week, they go silent. Now you begin to pray. You are in the Holy of Holies now, and you come to a place now, there the incense, the altar of incense, and you begin to make prayer for your fellow brothers and sisters, you know, and you begin to intercess. And all the while, the Lord's desire is for you to enter into the Holy of Holies. You know, in these days of the tabernacle, it was death to enter in there. Nobody could just go in there, only the high priest. And he could only go in there once a year. But ever since the unveiling of the Lord, when he's been now put on full display for us, it is death not to enter in there. God wants to admit you into that place, right into his presence, while you are praying. There now you can begin to make the effectual fervent prayer. There is the place God wants to take over, and his own spirit begins to give you utterance, and it begins to give you groanings that cannot be put into words, and it begins to pray on your behalf. It's the realm of thus saith the Lord. That's where the Lord wants to admit us tonight. And even when you think of the prayer meetings that we have every Friday, if you think of them and type them with this tabernacle, many times it's like that as well. That we have gathered, we are trying to sing, the minister of the song worship is trying to bring us into a certain presence. But there's so many voices speaking to us. Your emails at work, they're still ringing. Your WhatsApp messages are still talking to you. A lot of things interfering with you. You're still out here in the outer court. But God wants to admit you into the holy place where the word can begin to minister to you, where the word can begin to encourage your faith and bring you to a place now where all these other things are silent, and you begin to speak with the Lord and you begin to hear from the Lord, all the while moving you closer and closer until you come into the Holy of Holies. And that's just what I want to invite you to tonight. Before we enter into our prayer meeting, well, may we come before the Lord tonight and ask him to admit us into this place. The song worship does its best to move us from the environment of outside there, but there's nothing that does it better than prayer. So I want to invite you tonight that think of nothing else. Come and ask the Lord to say, Lord, admit me from the outer court. I want to enter into this holy place here where all the sounds of the burnt pot I will not hear. All the news from the doctor I will not hear. Where everything becomes silent and only the word of God would begin to speak with you. And I want to invite you now into a short time of prayer together that the Lord may come in our prayer and admit us into that place where we can begin to look into the word of God. Let us pray just for a short while. Amen. Amen. I pray that you bear with me a little bit tonight, saints. My voice is a little bit rough due to some coughing that has just come upon me. But we are looking to the Lord anyhow. He is the one that makes a way for us all the time. So I would like to invite you tonight to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, just to read a few verses there together. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's good to see Brother Pele also joined tonight there from the hospital. May God bless you, Brother Pele. We trust that you get well very soon. 1 Peter chapter 1, I would like to read from verse number 3 to verse number 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's just offer another prayer a little bit. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that has been recorded, Lord, and kept in store for us, Lord, that we could also read thy word. We thank you tonight, Lord. Help us, Father, as we look into this word, that it may encourage us tonight, Lord, to walk a bit closer to you tonight. Please grant grace now unto us, Lord, as we look into it. We ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may be seated, saints. I have just a small topic that I would like to share with you tonight. Yeah? And I trust that is going to help someone or encourage someone along the way somewhere. And I just want to look at this little topic here concerning the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Just to encourage someone on this journey, because in this journey that we are living in this life, there's just so many things that can discourage us. There's so many suddenlies in life that can change the whole outlook of life. Just to think of our brother Pele, for example, in hospital there, that last week he was planning his plans for this week. And none of those plans were about being in hospital. But these things can just come so suddenly when we don't even expect it. Especially this body that we dwell in, it seems to get a lot of trouble all the time. And maybe more for some than others, but it seems to be getting trouble here and there. The older we get, the more troubles that we get. And the reason why that is there's an appointment that is set for this body where one day it has to expire. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. So as each day passes, that day of that appointment draws closer. And when you look at life like that, it can be very discouraging. You can think that, well, life is very is very futile. You know, like the preacher said, all is vanity. When you look at it, that I'm just here, I'm born here, I have an appointment to die, and one day I'll meet with death. There would be no point to this life at all, especially in the circumstances where you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, as it says in verse number 6 there. That you come to a times where you are worrying about something. You are sad about something that has happened in this life. But if it wasn't for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, all this life would have been meaningless. Jesus Christ is coming and is dying for us on the cross. It changed all that. It gave us a living hope. As it says in verse number 3 there, oh, my voice is really struggling, but we'll get through it. That according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us to a living hope. Then that we have come to a place now where we are no more afraid of meeting with that appointment of death. We have now a blessed assurance by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that beyond this life, when this life is over, we have an inheritance somewhere that is incorruptible, an inheritance that cannot fade away, an inheritance that cannot be defiled. In other words, once we leave this body that we live in, we have another body waiting for us, one that has no appointment set with death. It will never know what it is to be sick. That body will never know what it is to sorrow. It will never shed any tears. Neither will it age, where you are getting old and weak all the time, because there won't be time there. It will be eternity. We'll be at a place where, my, it's a blessed hope to think of. It's a blessed hope to look forward to never again be sick, to never again worry, to never shed a tear, to know that where we are going, there's no need for doctors or nurses there. You know, I often joke sometimes to say, when we go over there, many people will be jobless, you know. Nurses won't be needed there. Doctors will not be needed there. But I thank God that I will be needed, because they'll be building buildings there and they might need architects, you know. So I have even more hope, you know. I don't know whether architects will be needed, because we have a great architect there who has designed all this for us. So it's such a blessed hope. It's such a great thing to look forward to. It's a living hope that God has admitted us into despite these things that we have down here for a season. It says there, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And there is the place where we are right now. A season, a period of time where all the disappointments and the unexpected things can happen in this life. For a season, you are in this heaviness through manifold temptation. And we wonder why sometimes it has to be like that. That there should be a season where we are in heaviness. Heaviness being a strong feeling of sadness or worry due to events taking place in our lives. Something just happens and it produces these feelings of sadness or heaviness of spirit, you know, and you're worried about things and we wonder why. But why do these things happen like this? And we just want to briefly look at that tonight, just so we could encourage one another. The Bible says, there where we read in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there is the reason why this period of happy, of a season that of heaviness can happen upon us. We often find ourselves in that place, that something happens and it brings this worry, it brings this sadness, and we just want to look, why does that happen? We know now that God has a reason for letting things happen to us. It's because the trial of our faith is much more precious than that of gold. In fact, the real cause of heaviness, it isn't the trial of your faith that brings the heaviness upon you. But the real cause of the heaviness and the worry and the sadness is because we forget why things are happening to us the way that they are happening. In fact, it is the devil's mission to make sure you forget why you are going through what you are going through, if he can keep you blind to the reason why, the devil will have you beat down all the time. The Bible clearly tells us here, the trial of your faith, it is much more precious than of gold which perishes. Who knew here that that gold, which is so precious in this world, they will do anything to get gold, that it perishes. Science hasn't caught up to that fact yet. But one day they will discover it. Yeah, but then it will be too late for them when gold perishes. But they have so much faith in their gold. They love the gold that they try it with fire until they purify it to an extent and they sell it for so much money because it's very precious to this world. But the Bible says the trial of our faith is more precious than of gold. That's the reason we have things in our lives that happen. Sometimes we don't understand us, and it brings us down into a valley of despair, and we are worried and we are wondering why. God is testing your faith in him. And when it is found to have stood the test, then you are placed into your position as a daughter or son of God. The testing of your faith, it produces a character that is able to handle a position of authority in Christ in a godly manner. Because we know power without character is simply just satanic. The demons that torment people today, they were angels once. They were in the presence of God, worshiping him and calling out, "Holy, holy, holy." They were angels before, but simply because they lacked character, they were turned into demons. Just that thing of lacking character, of lacking a godly character, turned them into demons. But God wants us to have a godly character, a character that is more precious than gold, which perishes one of these days. In the book of James 1, verse 3, it says, the trial of your faith works patience. When you know that at the end of your trial, when you are so sure that this thing that I'm going through, at the end of my trial, it's going to work patience in me. My. It's going to give me and mold within me a godly character that will produce patience in you. You will patiently go through that trial that you are going through. But if you are blinded to the fact that there's a divine purpose for the trial of your faith, you will fail the test all the time. You fail it. And we want to look at an example in the Bible of one classic example of a man who was like that. If you remember King Saul from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13, the prophet Samuel came to him and said, "What have you done, Saul? God would have established your kingdom forever over Israel, but because you have failed this test." And I want to read for you that verse in verse number 13, chapter 13. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded you, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded you.'" How did this come to be about? Saul and Samuel, they had agreed Saul was going to war with the Philistines. And they went and gathered in a certain place. Saul came with all his soldiers. But Samuel told him that after 7 days, "I will come and offer sacrifice unto the Lord." So Saul went into this place with soldiers. But after the first day, some of the soldiers began to desert him because he was just sitting there, they thought. But he was waiting. He tried. He really tried to wait for those 7 days. But the more he waited, the more that the people began to desert him. And he looked at his army and he could see. He could see that his army was getting thinner and thinner each day that passed. While he was waiting for Samuel. But the Philistines' army, they were gathering more and more around them, and they were becoming more and more stronger. My, it must have been a very scary situation to be in. So it is with every trial of faith. It is such a scary situation that when you are in it, the people around you, they will never understand what you're going through. But so long as you keep your eyes on the divine purpose, you are bound to pass that test. But if you take your eyes away from that divine purpose, you are bound to fail like Saul did. He saw his people getting fewer and fewer. And that's what he was looking at. He was looking at his enemy getting more and more and more around him. And it struck fear in the man. It made him to be afraid. Had he known, if only Saul had known that God needed only two people to win the war against the Philistines, he would have kept his eyes on the word of God. But he had become so carnal, he wasn't looking at the word of God. He was looking at the situation around him, and he forgot everything. And he began to be afraid. And then, when 7 days passed and people were getting less and less, he went and he offered sacrifice unto the Lord, breaking the word of the Lord, because it wasn't for kings to offer sacrifice. It was for the priests. He failed to obey the word of God. And when the prophet came, he asked him, "What have you done? What is this thing that you have done? The Lord would have established your kingdom forever." And Saul had very good reasons. He said, "Look, the people were deserting me. The enemy is getting more and more, and you delayed to come." He had very valid reasons, but valid reasons are never enough for breaking the word of God. Valid reasons can lead you astray many times. The only thing that you must hold on to is the word of God, what it says. So the trying of your faith is not an easy thing. It's a very serious thing. It's not a theoretical or a hypothetical exercise. It's a very real test that can be very close to you, and it can be very, very personal, as it was with Saul there, because he could see that he is the one who's exposed to this enemy. He's going to have to defend Israel against this enemy. It was very real and very close to him. And many times, when these trials come in our lives, they come through very close people to us. Real people that are very close to us. And that's what stumbles many, many people. That's what blinds them to the fact that God is testing you. Because when it becomes very, very personal and very close to you, you can begin to think that God has forsaken me. You fail to see the hand of God in the test, that there's a higher purpose in the test than what you see with your eyes. But God has never forsaken his own children, and he is not going to start forsaking people with you. No. To the end of time, God promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. In times of trials or when there's no trial, God will keep his word. He will be with you to the end of the world. And these trials are for a season. They don't last forever. They are never endless trials that happen all your life. When the trial comes and it has achieved what it has been sent for, God lifts it up like this, and you can smile again. Remember the great trial of Job. In the book of Job, when you read the progression of the trial of Job, you can see how God was so boasting with Job. He was so boasting with his servant that he, even when the devil came and he said, "Look, because you have put a hedge around him," and so forth, God said, "No, I can remove that hedge and you can see how my servant will react." So in one single day, Job lost everything. He lost all his riches. He lost all his children. The bad news kept coming one after the other, one after the other, all in a single day. My, when that happens to us, we would call that a calamity. He was a man of great riches, and he had many children, and he lost all that in one day. It was a great test. It was so great a test But when you go to read the response of Job, that's how God wants your response to be when trials come, when temptations come and try you and might so hard. God wants the real you to be revealed, to shine his glory when you respond to it, as Job responded. And he said in Job 1 verse 21 there, and he said, naked came I into this world out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He sinned not against the Lord foolishly when he saw all these things happening. And that's what God wants in you as a believer. When your faith is tried, it has to reveal more and more purity of your faith. Just as they burn the gold and they try it in the fire, it takes away more and more dross and it reveals more and more of pure gold. That's what God wants your faith to be. When it is tried, it has to reveal more and more of your pure faith. But with Job, when he responded in this way, that infuriated the devil. The devil was not happy with Job. He had to go back to God and seek permission to make another trial even closer than what he had done before. And that's what happened here with Job, that the devil went back and got permission, and he came back with a trial that was even closer than losing the riches and all the children. And Job lost his health. He got very sick. But Job never charged God foolishly, even in his sickness. Now the devil got even more motivated, and this time he began to probe to see where Job could fail. And how did he do it? The devil got into Job's own wife to test Job. She couldn't have been inspired by God. She said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Oh my, that's really hard to hear your wife say that. Someone very close to you like that. And she says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" When the tests come through those that are very close to you, it takes a lot of grace to pass that test. Because when it comes through someone who's very close to you, it's easy to forget that this test is a test from the Lord. He wants to try my faith, but all we can see is the vessel that has been used. We don't see beyond that, and we forget the divine purpose of that test. And Job's wife, she couldn't have been inspired of the Lord. She failed to stand the test herself. She failed her own part of this test. When she saw her own husband in that state, sick with boils, he has lost all his money, he has lost all his children. When your husband is being tested, you've got to remember that it's a test for you also. And when she saw that, she couldn't stand this test. She failed the test. We fail to see that it's not the person, it is the devil hiding behind the test, the person. When the tests come through our human relations, but not with Job, when he saw what his wife was doing, Job didn't charge God foolishly. He spoke to her and said, "You are speaking like one of those foolish women." My, what a faith that Job had in the Lord. When his own wife would say words like this, I don't know how many of us could ever respond that way to our wives. When she comes and says something out of 10, my, it's very easy to forget that this is a divine test of the Lord. My, but when his close associates came, when the friends of Job came and sat down with him and began to speak and mourn with Job, the Bible says Job began to speak and curse the day that he was born. He began to fail in this test because now it was his very own close associates, his very own close friends. They came to him and they spoke to him, and Job began to fail this test. The trial moved from where it was. It came closer and closer and closer to Job till his own friends had to rebuke him. They had to rebuke Job for his speech that he was speaking. "Cursed be the day that I was born. May the stars never have shined and so forth. They rebuked him because Job was failing to see that there was a divine purpose in the test that he was going through. Job was failing to see that there had something taken place in heaven where he wasn't. God was boasting with Job, saying, "Have you tried Job, my son?" But Job wasn't aware of that. And he began to fail to see there was a divine purpose to this test, that it was supposed to mold his character until his character reflected that of Christ. He began to fail to see that. That's what happens to us many times, that the only times that our character grows, God so much wants us to have a divine character, a character that reflects Jesus Christ. And the only time that our character grows, if you have ever noticed that, is that when you are down in the valley, when your faith is being tried, that's when you make more spiritual growth in your life. Just as you see in the valleys and the mountains, if you look on the mountaintops, trees don't grow on the mountaintops. They grow down in the valleys where they grow and thrive. But when you go higher and higher up the mountain, you don't find any trees growing there. That's just the same with us. When we are high up in the mountain and everything is going fine, the fridge is full, there's money in the bank account, the kids are doing well at school and at home, everything is well, you have got promotions coming up, it's very hard to grow spiritually in that condition. But just let something come along. Just let some trial come along in your life that will bring you from that mountaintop into the valley to try your faith. Just watch how you grow spiritually. You don't have to be told to wake up at 3 a.m. to go and pray and seek the Lord in the morning. No, those things will be on your mind. And you'll be trying to cling closer and closer to God and walk as close as you can. You look in your life to see, is there anything that is amiss? Why? Those are the things that teach us a Christ-like character. Even Jesus himself, he had to learn obedience through the things that he failed. You can see how Job here, that he stood in his trial of faith. And when his wife was used, he stood in that trial of faith. And when it came now closer to his friends, he began to fail. And he began to charge God foolishly. But it is not so with Jesus. His character is God's character. Jesus, whenever something happened, he knew exactly what was behind every statement. At one time, he was talking with his disciples and he was telling them of things that were about to happen to him. And as they were going down, Peter began to speak and he says, "Lord, this will never happen. We will never let it happen to you." Jesus looked at him. He didn't see Peter, but he saw what was inspiring Peter. And he rebuked the devil and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He could tell exactly what was behind what Peter was saying. But that's the thing that we fail many times. When somebody says something to us, we fail to see that it's a test of character. It's so easy to fail that when it's somebody that you know. When it's someone who's very close to you and they say something, we forget everything and we react the wrong way. But not with Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and he didn't see Peter. He saw the inspiration that was behind Peter and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." His very close associates, right at the time when he needed them the most, on the night of betrayal, when Judas had betrayed him with a kiss and they all abandoned him. Even Peter denied him with a kiss 3 times in one night. But for your sake and for me, he never took his eyes off that cross. He went steadfastly up that hill and died on the cross because it was the character of God that had developed in him. And that's what God wants to develop in you and in me. When we go through the trials of our faith that we go through, when we go through things that sometimes we may fail even to understand, God is trying to develop a godly character in you. But it is the devil's job. It is his mission to make you forget that, to make you not see that there's a divine purpose in every trial that you go through. And he wants you to react with the eyes of flesh, just like Saul did. He wants you to fail at every test. But tonight, I want to encourage you, brother, sister, that everything that you have to go through, every trial of your faith that comes to you, it is for a divine purpose. God wants to develop a character in you that will not fail, a character that can handle authority, a character that can handle a position in Christ. And that's what I want to encourage you with, saints, tonight. As I invite you to a time of prayer now, I want you to think of the times where you grew spiritually. The times that you grew most spiritually were the times of your trials. And if you can only hold that while you are going through a trial, if you can only remember that there's a divine purpose in this trial which I'm going through, it will give you patience to go through that trial. It will begin to mold what that trial has been sent for from the Lord. And when the season of that trial passes, you will be closer and more closer to the character of Jesus Christ. I just want to invite you now that let's come to a time of prayer before we would pass over back to the pastor to read our prayer requests. Let's come to that time of prayer and look in our lives to see where have we grown more than at other times. And you will see that it was at a time of great adversity, a time of trial, a time of the testing of your faith. And when you submit to such times, you will only grow more and more and more spiritually. May the Lord bless you as we enter into a time of prayer. Briefly.
Come, saints, amen. God bless you richly as we continue on in spirit and an attitude of prayer. I just want to say thank you so much to Brother Wilmore for the word. That was a blessed word that he brought us this evening. The trial of your faith, the testing, the trial of your faith. That's such a wonderful, such an important thing. Whenever a challenge comes in, whenever, if it's a trial, a temptation, what seems to be a misfortune, if it's a sickness, whatever that it is, the best thing that you can do is to stand still and see the salvation of God. God has a purpose and God has a plan. He's trying to work something. As we said the other day to the saints we're fellowshipping with, Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. We know the prophet told us that. That means when the shepherd puts the sheep in the fold, he lays down in the door. So nothing can get to the sheep without coming over the shepherd. And friends, if Jesus is the shepherd of your life, if he's the door of the sheepfold and you're in his fold, if sickness comes, the Lord has permitted it. If misfortune comes, the Lord has permitted it. If trial comes to test your faith, you know, to develop patience, whatever that it is, like Brother Wilmore was saying so well this evening, the Lord has permitted it. So never panic. Never think anything's out of control. Never think something's going wrong. No, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. There's a divine purpose behind it. His hand is behind it. And when Moses started to cry out to the Lord at the Red Sea, you know, like we always do, the Lord says, why cry thou unto me? Speak and go forward. And I think that's the best thing that you can do. And when trial comes, temptation comes, whatever, just be still. Just get before the Lord and wait upon the Lord and say, Master, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to develop inside of me? What do you want my reaction to be to this action that is taking place? And you will find, as the song says, God will make your trial a blessing. He'll make that trial into a blessing. Friends, all of us as believers can testify. Brother Wilmer said some wonderful things there this evening, really rich and wonderful things and very helpful. So we really do appreciate and thank you for the word, brother. May the Lord richly bless you. Got a thanksgiving here from Sister Anne. Sister Anne is thanking the Lord for answered prayer. No, Sister Anne had gone for a procedure, actually a biopsy, and it came back showing no malignancy. So she's really thanking the Lord for that. Now she says she has so much to thank the Lord for. There's a wonderful song which says, no, I have so much to thank him for. And that's a good thing, even as we'd have prayer meeting like this evening. Why not just think of the goodness of the Lord inside of your life and thank the Lord for the things that he's done. And these trials that are going on now, as we put our requests for Brother Pele being there in the hospital and they wanted to do a scan and check what's in his brain and bring in the specialist, whatever that it is. Saints, the Lord has been faithful and the Lord is faithful. And we're looking to the Lord and we wanted to come to pray for our brother to say, Lord, just as much as Peter was in that prison house, and Satan thought he had him in there and he wasn't going to come out. We want to just ask the Lord upon this evening to say, Lord, let the same angel that went and brought Peter out so quickly out of that place be the same one to bring our brother Pele out from the hospital. We really want to direct our prayers and put them before the Lord on behalf of Brother Pele. Brother Marco as well, he's put a request. He says, I have a prayer request tonight in relation to my first son, Moses, to join us and his little brother. So he wants to bring his son, Moses, to come and join him and his son that's already come. He says, I've already started making arrangements for this. May the saints pray so the same God who opened doors for his little brother do the same for him as well. He's the same God who never changes. God bless you. So we'll gladly do that. So let's pray for Moses as well, for the Lord to open that Red Sea, for the Lord to open that door, for the Lord to give favor, that the application will fall into the right hands, because God is the one who works by bringing the right people in the right place at the right time. So we want to ask the Lord to really bless the whole process so that we will see once again a testimony of the goodness and the glory of the Lord when we see Moses coming to join his brother with their dad. And may the Lord bless that petition is our prayer. Let's pray for our other normal requests that we have, saints, for Sunday service, for Sunday school, for song worship. Thank you, Brother Vlad, for song worship this evening. Let's pray on Sunday evening, 6 p.m. this coming Sunday, we have a youth meeting. We want to just speak to the youth about plans and purposes for this year that lays before. Let's seek friends unless the Lord builds the house. I love that scripture. They labor in vain. Now, we can watch all night, but unless the Lord watches, we're watching in vain. So we want to ask the Lord. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So we want to bring forth his fruit in his season. So we're looking to the Lord for his leadership and guidance in these things. And saints, and all of these other things that need to be done, we really do desire the grace of God to lead us and guide us concerning Sunday school resuming once again, concerning the way he wants us to do evangelism, who should preach for us, what meetings should we have. We have different saints arranging weddings, different saints in different relationships and so forth. Saints, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, why don't you come before the Lord now and bring it to the Lord? Let's come now. Brother Wilmer said at the beginning, we've come past now the brazen altar. We've come through the outer court. We've come through the priests offering their prayers. Now, we've come to the altar of incense now. We've come right to the mercy seat. And the Bible has exhorted us to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain help to find help in time of need. So let us come right to the mercy seat now, and may the spirit of intercession be upon his people as we pray for Brother Marco, for Moses, as we pray for our brother Pele in hospital, as we pray for the weekend services and whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart. Let's spend another season in prayer. And God bless you as you pray. It's a wonderful song. The words of that song, isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, isn't he? Then the next verse says, isn't he beautiful? Beautiful, isn't he? And friends, as we saw on Wednesday night in the prayer meeting, and as Brother Wu was saying at the beginning, the closer you draw to him in prayer, the more you see him as beautiful, the more that you see him as wonderful. As you draw near to him, as you get within the veil, and you know, when it says that they saw Jesus and him only, you know, when Moses disappeared and Elijah disappeared and all the other things, and the voice spoke, then they looked and they saw Jesus and him only. And friends, Jesus is the main attraction. Jesus is the only thing that satisfies the soul of a believer. He's the answer to every situation that we're in. So may Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be with Brother Pele. He's promised that he would, and he is faithful, and he will be there. May he be with Brother Marco in his applications, and he's promised that he will. He is, the Bible says, even if we are faithless, the Lord is still faithful. So we thank the Lord that we serve him that is faithful. We rest on his faithfulness. So God bless you, saints. It was really wonderful to be together in the prayer meeting. Let's ask our Brother George there to close for us in a word of prayer. And then let's hand over to Brother Vlad. Thank you for the song worship, Brother Vlad. God bless you and your family. Let's have two more songs or so at the end then, Brother Vlad. God bless you, saints, until we meet in his house on Sunday or on Zoom, wherever it would be. God